Amen. If you wasn't here last Sunday night, you missed it. Brother Eric preached a great message. It was good, helpful message. And appreciate the Lord and all he's done for us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Job chapter number 1. You get your place, say amen.
Amen.
All right, I'll let you sit down because we'll read a little bit. The book of Job, chapter number 1, the Bible said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 7,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually.
Right.
Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord,
right,
and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up,
right,
and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans came, made out 3 bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, thy sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 22, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly.
Amen.
I want you to look over in verse number 8 of chapter 2. Verse 7 says, Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. This is another day Satan came forth. Verse 8 says, he took a potsherd. Job took a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Here's Satan is brought sores upon him. In verse 9, then it said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of the God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips?
Amen.
I want to preach this morning on this thought. In all this. In all this. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd help us. God, I pray you'd touch us this morning. We need you physically. We need you spiritually. God, there's people here this morning that may need to be saved. I pray, God, that you reveal yourself as the Savior and the Lord to them that they could be saved today. And then, Lord, there's Christians that are discouraged. And maybe they're going through some trials and some troubles, some circumstances that they don't quite understand why. But, God, I pray today that, God, you'd speak to their hearts through your word, by your spirit, and help us, Lord. Thank you for what you've already done in our hearts this morning. God, I pray you'd help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Here we find the account of Job. In Job chapter number 1, we've read, and the Bible speaks some good words about Job. The Bible said he was a perfect man. It means he's a man of integrity. His wife spoke of integrity in chapter 2. The word perfect doesn't mean that he's sinless, but it means that he's shunning sin. He's a complete man. He's a mature man in the things of the Lord. He's straight in his conduct. There was no hypocrisy in the life of this man named Job. This is a man that served God. He loved God. And he feared God. The Bible said he feared God. When the Bible said there that he feared God, it means that he had a right kind of respect and an awe, a reverential fear, a respect for who God is, for what God says, and for what God does. Can I say we need a revival of the fear of God in our churches this morning? Amen. We need a fear of God across our nation. Amen. I'm talking about who God is and what God says. There's people that don't care who God is. They laugh at God. They make fun at God. There's people that don't care what God says. There's churches this morning that won't even open up a Bible. And they don't care what God says. But I tell you, we need a fear of God on who he is and what he says and then what he does. Amen. We ought to fear God. We ought to have that's not being scared. That's a reverential awe and a look at him and wonder. Amen. Sort of like a son does a father. Whom he loves, and we ought to fear him. And the Bible said that Job feared God, and he eschewed evil. He resisted evil. He left evil. He departed from evil. Over and over, we could see in Job 28:28, the Bible said, and he said unto the man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding.
All right.
Depart from evil. Can I say a healthy fear of God will cause you to depart from evil?
Amen.
Yes, sir. One who fears God will be one who hates evil. One who fears God will be one who needs not fear anything else. If we fear God, we need not fear anything nor no one else. Job feared God. He knew God, and he knew that God had gave him all that he had. There in verse 21, he said, the Lord hath gave. He said, anything I've got came from the Lord. It came from the, matter of fact, the book of James said to us that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. And the Father of lights, with whom there is no variable. And so we know that everything that in the life of Job, he looked at it as if it was placed there by God. He feared God. He eschewed evil. He was one who wanted to serve God. And here you say, well, I don't know about this Job. Well, Ezekiel, just to prove you, Ezekiel and James both speak of Job as a realistic person. This is not just some parable. This is not just some allegorical story. This is the truth happening of a man named Job. We've read here this morning. We've seen about all that happened to him as we've read. We've seen here that in one day of his life, he lost all his family. He lost all his fortune. He lost all his farm. He lost 500 oxen. He lost 500 donkeys. He lost 3,000 sheep. He lost 7,000 sheep that were struck by fire or lightning. He had 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. They were all killed. He lost all his servants. Job knew what had happened, but he didn't know why it happened. He knew the how, but he didn't know the how come. You've been there. You've had trials and circumstances and maybe you've wondered why. You knew what happened, but you didn't know why it happened. No, there's Job sitting in the ashes. There's Job as we look here in the first couple of chapters of Job, and we're seeing Job, and he's lost great things in this world. Many would say, well, God's punishing. I'm not so sure about that. I don't believe God was punishing. See, we learn from some things in the life of Job. Number one thing we learn here is that God is sovereign. God is in control. But we also learn that Satan is loose.
Right.
There's some that think Satan is in hell. I got news for you, friend. Satan's not in hell. And if he's not bothering you this morning, it might be because y'all running in the same direction. Job, there's a man and he fears God and he's eschewing evil and he's trying to serve God. And Satan comes, and it's interesting to me that when Satan going to attack Job, it really wasn't Satan's idea. Satan thought Job was off limits. God brought him up and said, "Have you not thought about my servant? Have you not considered my servant Job?" He said, "Man, I can't touch him." God said, "You can have everything except him. You can touch everything he has, but you can't take him." Can I say everything that happens to you in this life as a child of God, it will have to go through the providential hands of God Almighty before it gets to you. There's nothing that'll happen to you in this lifetime that'll be an accident. God will either directly cause it or he will indirectly allow it. And that's exactly what we learn here in the life of Job. God was not punishing Job. Rather, God was proving Job. God was pruning Job. He wasn't punishing him for sin, but he was proving him and disciplining and developing him so that he could be more like his son. And he'll do the same thing in your life, in my life. Satan will bring trouble in your life, try to destroy you, while God will allow the troubles in your life to develop you. And we must discern and understand the difference. Satan is our adversary. He's the accuser of the brethren. And here he comes and he accuses Job of serving God for naught. He said, basically what Satan says is the only reason Job's serving you, God, is because of what you've given him. Some people like that. They say the only reason you're a Christian, the only reason you live for God is because of what God's doing for you. Amen. Friend, I'm not serving God for what he's doing for me in the physical realm. I'm serving God because of what he did for me on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Amen. And listen, and that's enough. Amen. That's enough. And you ought to love him. But the Bible says because he first loved us. Satan's our adversary. He's their accuser of the brethren. And he comes and he says, "Oh, Job's just serving you for what he's got." Can I say God's worthy to be worshipped? God's worthy to be served. God's worthy to be feared. God's worthy to be praised. God's worthy to be lived for. If he didn't give me nothing the rest of my life, if he took everything that I had, God's worthy. If he took the clothes off of my back and the shoes off of my feet and the food out of my refrigerator, hey, listen, if he broke every bone I had, if he took every good thing I had, he's still God and he's still worthy to be praised. God's worthy. God's in control of what touches his children. I'm thankful for that this morning. Warren Wiersbe, he said this. He said, "Gold fears no fire." Amen. Job talked about how when he had tried me, he'd bring me forth. He said, "I shall come forth as gold." Amen. Gold fears no fire. Amen. I'm talking to the child of God that really loves God and serves God and has God in his rightful place in their life. And I'm going to say, when you come to the trials and the persecutions and the tribulations of life, listen, gold need fear no fire. Fire only purifies. Fire will only develop, and fire will only get rid of the impurities and show, hey, the real man, what's on the inside. And as I look into the book of Job and I read these passages, I come to that verse in verse 22 where the Bible said, in all this, not apart from all this. There's many today, even in the religious realm, many preachers that would say, you know, you serve God and everything's going to be great. You're never going to get sick. You know, and then some of them die of cancer. Yeah. You're going to have great wealth. Let me say to you, God may give you great health. God may give you great wealth. God may give you great physical things and allow you to have them in this life. But if he doesn't, it doesn't mean that you don't love him. Hey, some of the greatest Christians in this ever walk, the sands of time, didn't have anything physically. I'm talking about, God's a sovereign God. Listen, I'm saying to you that in all this, not after he got better. Listen, we can look in the life of Job later on where God blessed him double. In the last chapter of Job, we can see that. But it didn't say after that. The Bible said, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And I wonder this morning if we was going to go through all this. I'm talking about losing all of our physical belongings, losing all of our family. Some of us have lost a father or a mother. Some of us have lost children, maybe. Some of you have lost loved ones. And it destroys you. It pulls you down. And it's a discouraging thing at times. But could you imagine having 10 children? Hey, mama, could you imagine having 10 children and every one of them died in the same day? Could you imagine having lost all your physical belongings, your houses, your animals? If you're a farmer, what Job, he had the cattle and the camels and the sheep and every bit of it. He lost it all.
Amen.
And as I see Job, I don't see a man who's given up on God.
All right now.
I see a man who knows that, listen, when the going gets tough, it's when we need God. There's many people that when they hit these circumstances and the situations of life come upon them, it seems as if they turn from the one that they need the most.
All right, amen.
And it's a true fact that either you're in a storm, you've just come out of a storm, or you're just now getting ready to go in a storm. Storms are inevitable. You're going to face storms in this life, saved or lost alike. And as a child of God, I want to encourage you this morning that when the storms come, don't get bitter. But get better. Amen. Hey, listen, don't run from God, but run to God. He's a very present help in trouble. He's a God that sticketh closer. Amen. He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Thank God He'll never leave me and never forsake me. Can I say, if He's worthy to be praised on the mountaintop, He'll be worthy to be praised in the valley of the shadow of death. Hey, listen, I can fear no evil because He's with me. Amen. I'm telling you, God's worthy to be praised. He's worthy, amen. And as I look at Job and at the picture we have of Job, here he is worshiping and praising God. And as I see him, I think about where he's at in the midst of all these circumstances. Brother Edward, because I look at this, I can't help but think he's in the pile of ashes where it had been a house. He's in a pile, a rubble of ashes where his belongings had been. Everything's burnt up all around him and he's kneeling before God. And here he is, and I want to see, point out some things about what can we do in all of this. What can a man do in all this? I'm going to say this. The right response will glorify God.
Amen.
And the right response will edify and testify to the others. And the right response will petrify Satan. As I look here in chapter number 1, I believe it is, verse 9 and through 11. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" He said, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work on his hands and his substance is increased." Watch verse 11. "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Satan said, "God, you just put forth your hand and touch him. Take all that good stuff. Take all those blessings. Take that material good." He said, "I'll tell you what, Job, that's the only reason he's serving you. When he goes through all these things," he said, "he'll turn his face, he'll turn his back on you. He'll curse you." And God said, "I'll tell you what, let's put him to the test."
All right. Amen.
I'll say this again. Satan bring trouble into your life to destroy you. But your heavenly Father will let things in your life to develop you.
Amen.
God never promised smooth sailing. But he did promise a happy landing.
Amen.
So I want to look with me just to here in verses 20 through 22 just for a few moments. And I want to look about what can we do in all this. The number one thing I see about Job in all this, in verse number 20, I see, number one, he got up. He got up. The Bible said he arose. Then Job arose. You see that in verse 20? Then Job arose. You say, "Preacher, why is that significant?" I'll tell you why that's significant. Because here he is in the heap of ashes, and he's got every right in the world to be discouraged, to be mourning. But the Bible said, then Job arose. There's a lot of people that they won't get out of the troubles in their life. They won't get over the circumstances of life. They won't get past the hard times of life because they're happy wallowing in the misery. Can I say, there comes a time, listen, when the morning's over and the time to get up. When we go through trials and we go through heartaches, and we will, amen. And it's all right. The Bible speaks of that in Ecclesiastes. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to weep. There's also a time to get up. Listen, we'll never make progress if we just sit there and have a pity party. It's easy to cry on our own shoulder and pat ourselves and say, "Woe is me, gloom, despair, agony is me. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do." Job got up. Can I say, if you've gone through the trials, if you're going through the circumstances, if you're going through one right now, hey, the time comes when you got to get up, you got to move on. You got to get up, don't stay in the ashes. You got to get up, don't stay in the trial. Don't live in the past. The past is the past. Get up.
Amen.
Job got up. There's a lot of people that just need to get up. I've witnessed and talked to people, and they're still dwelling in hurts from 10, 15 years ago. Well, preacher, you just don't know what happened. You don't know how bad it happened to me. And I lost this, and my family did this, and this happened to us, and we lost this, and I went through this. And I said, well, last week? No, that was about 25 years ago. Get up! Get up! Man, if we want to find a reason to quit, we can find it. If you want to find an excuse to lay around and whine and moan, hey, listen, there'll be plenty. But there comes a time you got to get up. I see Job rose. He got up. And then not only I see that he got up, I see that he got serious. Some people got to get up, but they don't know what they're going to do. But Job got up. The Bible said not only did he rose, it said, and he rent his mantle and shaved his head. Those rent his mantle and shaving his head, that would have been in his day, that's a common expression of grief. That's a common expression of dealing with it. That was a way that Job would show how serious the matter was at hand. Not only did he get up, but he got serious. Listen, this was not just an accident that happened. Job realized the enormous cost that this had cost him. Job realized the hurt. He realized that he'd lost all his material goods. He'd lost his servants. He lost his own children. And he got up and he got serious. He rent his mantle. I mean, talking about he's in a sign of mourning and a weeping. He rents his mantle and he shaves his head. Then not only did he get up and did he get serious, but I see he got down. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, if you keep reading, the Bible said after he shaved his head, he fell down upon the ground. He fell down upon the ground. You see, I see here when he falls on the ground this time, this falling on the ground, he's not taking a pity party, but rather he's worshiping the God of heaven. He got down. Can I say that some of us are not going to get... Listen, you may try to get up. I'm not talking about the sense of self-help. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm pulling myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm not talking about that sense of getting up. I'm talking about getting up only in the power of God. Amen. I'm talking about getting up when only it's the strength of God. Amen. Paul wrote over in 2 Corinthians, he said, when I'm weak, he said that he is strong. Thank God. Listen, when we're weak, he's strong in us and he works through us. He may not remove the thorn in the flesh. He may not remove the trial. He may not remove those things, but he'll give you the strength. He'll give you the grace. He'll give you the help to get through. Amen. I thank God he's a God that's able to help us. He's able to secure us. He's able to come along and aid us in a time of need. And he did that just for Job. And I see Job got down. I see Job here in the pile in the midst of the rubbish and the ashes, and he gets on his face. He gets on his face before God. He got down. He realized the only way up was down. He realized the only help he was going to get was not to try to get himself up, but to get himself down so that God could get him up. I'm saying he got down. He fell down upon the ground. And then not only that, but not only did he get down, but he got close. You say, what do you mean he got close? The Bible said, and he worshiped. And worshiped. Now listen now, let's go back a little bit. He lost his family. He's lost his cattle. He's lost his camels. He's lost his sheep. He's lost his servants. He's lost everything except for his life and his wife. And his wife looks at him and says, why don't you just curse God and die? This is not a man, listen, this is not a man that's experienced the great zenith of power at the moment. Oh, he was at one time the greatest man in all the East, the Bible said. Right. This is not a man that's sitting around counting his money. This is not a man driving limousines and riding in Lear jets and, you know, just enjoying all the finest things in life. This is a man that knows what it's like to lose it all. This is a man that the Bible said was perfect man. Made him mature, right with God, a man of integrity, no hypocrisy. And when troubles came his way, he knew that the only way up was down. And he fell on his face, and he worshiped God. He worshiped. The idea of worshiping, it's the idea of to give reverence to and to adore. And in the Bible, many times that word worship, it speaks of to kiss towards or to blow a kiss. And it would be as if someone would greet someone and they would greet a king or a person of honor. And they would fall on their knee and they would kind of blow a kiss toward them, or they would bow at their feet to show them honor, to show their respect and their reverence. The Bible says that Job worshiped God. He's feeling so. Now listen, he's not in a nice church building. He's not on padded pews and got all his friends around him. When he falls down, he's in the midst of all his trial. Watch now. In verse 21 or 22, in all this is when it's happened. In all this. Many of us, if we're not careful, we'll wait. And we'll say, well, I'll get through all this and then I'll worship God. I'll get through all this, and once all this trouble's over, then I'll get back to serving God. Job gives us a great example of a man that can trust the sovereignty of God. We can trust that God's in control. Can I say, what a testimony to know a man that trusts the sovereignty of God and he's able to worship God in all this. Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter number 8, and he gave a list of like 17 things, and he said, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all, we're going to go through these things, church. You may not lose your cattle and your house. You may not lose your mate. You may not lose your children. But you could lose some things. You could lose your health. You could lose your job. Are you listening to me? You could lose some things materially. But there's still a God in heaven. And he's still worthy to be praised. No matter how bad the doctor's report is. No matter how far in the ridge your bank account goes. Listen, no matter how many of your friends desert you, we could go on reading. We could find that Job had three friends coming to him. And the best remedy they could do is point their finger and say, Job, it's because of this. And they're trying to make him look it out like he was wrong. My God said he was a man that was perfect. My God said he was a man who's one that feared God and eschewed evil. Troubles of life come upon us all. Brother Steve, it happens to all of us. We're all going to face trials. We're all going to face circumstances that we don't quite understand the how come. Even when we know the how. We may not understand why, but we understand what. Right, say, what are you going to do, preacher? Well, I'll tell you what you got to do. We got to get up. Right, we got to get serious. Got to deal with it. Then we need to get down. And then we get close. See, when I worship somebody, when we come before his presence, we're coming into his presence to worship him. And when you worship him, you're cutting out all the barriers. All right. When you're worshiping God, it's, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Amen. We're putting aside the cares. We're putting aside our friends. There need be no distractions. We don't worship God because somebody else over here is. No, we worship God because of our relationship with him. Amen. And I see Job here. He gets close. I see him worshiping God. I can't help but get a blessing knowing that when he's worshiping, Brother Eric, as I see this, the best I understand the Bible, he's in a pile of ashes. He's sitting down one day and he's in the lowest spot that we could think physically a man could be in. But instead of grumbling, instead of complaining, instead of saying, oh, it's just ain't worth it. I tried to serve God, it just wasn't worth it. I see a man that's trying to get closer to God than he's ever been. He said this in verse 21. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave. The Lord had taken away. Bless him. Bless him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said in Timothy, if I could find my spot in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 7, the Apostle Paul wrote, he said, for we brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out. Amen. We brought nothing into this world. When you came out of your mother's womb, you didn't have great riches. You didn't have a big house. You didn't have fine automobiles and cars and boats and motorcycles and fishing poles and pocketbooks. You didn't have none of that stuff. And he said, when you leave here, you're not taking any of it with you. I've never seen a U-Haul following a hearse. Naked I came, naked shall I go. The Lord gave, the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, in all this, blessed be the name of the Lord. When the bank account's empty, blessed be the name of the Lord. When the doctor's report is awful, hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. When my family walks out and desert me, blessed be the name of the Lord. When Christians desert me and reject me, blessed be the name of the Lord. When the world don't like me, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, listen, when all the world turns their back and everybody curses and forsakes me, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, when I'm in the deepest, darkest, lowest valley, and then in the hurting and awfulest pain, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, what are you going to do, preacher? In all this, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, worship Him, praise Him, give Him the glory. He's worthy, He's worthy, He's worthy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a testimony. Job sinned not, nor he charged God foolishly. And I like what he said there in chapter 2, verse 10. In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? He didn't just not sin with his life, but he didn't even sin with his lips.
All right.
You stop and think about that. Sometimes we manage to do the right things, but sometimes if we're not careful, it'd be easy to say the wrong things. All this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what you're going to go through. But I promise you, I just about guarantee you, you're not going to go through anything worse than what Job went through. Although at the time, I understand at the time, it seems like it. But even when you're in the deepest, darkest valley of your life, there's a God who's with you.
Amen.
There's a God who's worthy. And He wants to hear from you. He's worthy to be worshipped. In all this. What are you going to do? What you going to do in all this? Stand up with me. In all this.
All right,
I ain't going through no trial. Well, you better buckle up.
All right.
I ain't never been through a trial. Check your pulse. What you going to do in all this? In all this. Job gives us a great example of what we ought to do. When we're going through these trials, just fall on our face. Get before the God of heaven. Now, He don't need reminding, but we do. Sometimes just remind ourselves that He's worthy. And He's able. In all this, Job sinned not. Nor he charged God foolishly. What you going to do in what you're going through? Not after all this, not before, but in all this. What are you going to do? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you take this message. Just a few simple thoughts. I pray you bless. I pray you work in our hearts. There's people here that's going through trials. There's some that's already been through them. There's some that may be in them now. God, I pray you'd help us have the right response. God, help us to do like Job and to worship you. You're worthy, Lord. God, help us not to just worship you when the sun's shining our way, but God, help us to worship you even in the dark days. You're worthy, God. Thank you, Lord. For all your blessings. Thank you for your precious presence that's so real. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.